Well, before you're seated, I want you to turn and smile to at least three people and tell somebody, it's so good to see you. God bless you. Welcome to the house of God. Greet one another in the name of the Lord, and you may be seated. And again, welcome to those who are joining us online from across the U.S. and all over the globe. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this evening, you can turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I just want to share a thought with you this evening as we wrap up this powerful time that we've had in the presence of the Lord, hearing these stories, hearing these incredible testimonies this evening, and of course, watching this legacy video. Gospel of John, chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 35, and just to give you a little bit of context, the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has just introduced us to Christ, the eternal Word. Also, the testimony of John the Baptist and Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, who takes away the sins of the world. Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 35 to verse 51, it says this. The following day, John was again, and this is John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Behold," he said, "look, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." In other words, consider, look at, take notice, discover, discern who is before you, who is passing by. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following him, and he said, "What do you want?" He asked them, and they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Come and see." Hallelujah, he said to them. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and when they went with him to the place where he was staying, they remained with him the rest of the day. So they spent the day with Jesus. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard John when he said what he said, and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother. He went and found his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. Some translations say stone, which means stone. The next day, Jesus decided, I like that word. Somebody say decided. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Hallelujah. And he found where he found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael, "can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. Now, thank God he didn't argue with him. He didn't get into a debate with him. He said, "You just come and see. See for yourself." Amen. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Whenever someone was found under the fig tree, quite often at this particular time in history, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those who were studying the law or meditating on the word of God or studying the scriptures were often found sitting under a fig tree in the shade of the day. Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will see, you will all see." Somebody say all. "You will all see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." Hallelujah. 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 Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see for yourself." Father, we thank you that your word is still a lamp to our feet and a light to our hearts. God, speak to us this night in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, fully satisfied is the one that trusts in him." Those that trust in him, folks, will never be disappointed. Are you with me tonight? I think of Joe's testimony this evening. What a powerful testimony, Joe, of how the Lord began to reveal himself to him and how God began to speak to him and how God began to show him that his report, that he gets the final say. So, hallelujah. God's report. Whose report will you believe? That God gets the final say-so in our lives, amen? The doctors, the therapists can say one thing, but when God begins to speak, things begin to happen. I said, when God begins to speak, things begin to happen. Folks, miracles happen when he moves. When Jesus begins to show up on the scene, things begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen, folks. You know, throughout this particular segment of scripture in John's gospel account, the word "found," which in the Greek means to locate by searching, appears no less than five times. It says, Andrew found Simon, claiming to have found the Messiah. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael, claiming to have found the Messiah. Hallelujah. Powerful. You know, Jesus made the decision to come and find us. Hallelujah. 1 John 1 verse 43 says, "And the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Come follow me.'" He made the decision to go to Galilee where he was and found him. And that word decided means with great desire and delight. Imagine Jesus with just great desire and delight just walking to Galilee. And he goes and he finds Philip there. Awesome. What a picture. What an image, right? And said to him, "Come follow me." I want you to note, the Bible says that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard." 1 John 1:8-10 says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." But also note the consequences of sin. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21 says, "Those who still reject me," in other words, who reject the Lord or reject God, "are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up mud and dirt." Folks, when you and I choose to live independently of God, suddenly there's a restlessness inside of us. There's a restlessness, and all of a sudden we find ourselves making decisions at times and doing things that we never imagined or thought we would be doing. Verse 21 says, "There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. There is no peace." John 3:18 says, "Whoever believes in me is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." But also note God's love for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaiah 53 verse 5 and 6 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Folks, that's what sin is. It's living a life independently of God. Yet the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the sins of us all. Do you know God loves you? I said, do you know God loves you? Yes. And yeah, you might know that up here. But you know he wants you and I to get a deeper revelation of his love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Those that are made perfect in his love, in other words, are maturing in that love, growing in an increasing revelation of that love, are secure in him. And they are not moved. Folks, God loves you tonight. I said, God loves you tonight. As a matter of fact, he's head over heels in love with you. Imagine that. Head over heels in love with you. That's why you're here this evening. God is calling you. Jesus came to find you, has come to find you, to look for you. He's speaking to you this evening, whether you are a believer or not. If you have an ear to hear what he wants to say to you tonight, you will hear. You know, God is not afraid of our doubts or questions. John 1:45, reading from the Message translation, says, Nathanael said, Nazareth, you've got to be kidding me. But Philip said, come see for yourself. Nathanael was honest and straightforward. One commentary says it this way. Nathanael responded with incredulity, which means disbelief. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was considered a no-account town. It was not far from Sepphoris, which housed a garrison of Roman soldiers. And where you find a town full of bored soldiers, you will find a nesting ground for vice and immorality. Today, it would be like saying the Son of God hails, or the Son of God comes from Las Vegas, AKA Sin City. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing that he will go to the darkest places, it doesn't matter, to reach you and I. Like Nathanael, you may have doubts, or you may even have questions tonight. You may be wondering, can anything good come of this? And this could be defined by anything going on in your life. Or maybe you're wondering, can anything good come out of my past experience, my past trauma, my life? Can God make anything of me? Can God really use me after what I've done, where I've been, what I've seen? Maybe you feel like you're too dirty or you've gone too far. Or maybe you've been wondering, God, are you real? God, are you there? Lord, do you see what's going on? Lord, do you see what happened or what's happening? The Lord will do. Listen to me tonight. The Lord will do whatever it takes to move us from doubt and unbelief to faith and confidence in him. Jesus gave Nathanael the exact supernatural proof he needed to help him believe. And he is no respecter of persons. What he did for Nathanael, he will do for you and me. I think of Marie Andre's testimony tonight, feeling God calling her to a deeper walk with him, and then suddenly beginning to show her things that she didn't realize that were hindering her walk with the Lord. like being part of this voodoo dance, this dance troupe that was actually performing voodoo-based dances. The Lord knows what it takes to get our attention, folks, and how to speak to each and every one of us. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." He knows exactly how to speak to you. He knows how to reach you. He knows how to speak to you. God is always working to bring us to the point where we will believe and accept him. Do not focus on looking for proof, though. Keep your eyes on Jesus and look for him. Jesus invites us, like he did with Andrew, to come and see for yourself. Come and see where I'm staying. Come and see where I abide. Come and see where I live. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Again, in John 7, 37 and 38, Jesus stood up and cried out in the middle of a religious feast, a religious meeting. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts," you know, you can be in the center of all kinds of religious activity and still feel dry and empty and lifeless. I know what that's like, folks. I know what it's like to be stuck in a religion that's based on men's rules and traditions and feel empty inside and be bound up, addicted, full of fear, with no hope for the future. And then suddenly, God shows up on the scene. Hallelujah. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Folks, Jesus knows you. I said, Jesus knows you. John 1:47. Reading from the Passion Translation. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, "Here comes a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive. He knows who you are. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He knows all our shortcomings, all our faults, all our hang-ups, all our struggles. It doesn't matter, though, because he has come to turn our lives around." Hallelujah. The Lord also knows our strengths and the gifts that he has deposited in us and how to use those for his glory and his fame. He will make us what we could never be, take us where we could never go, and enable us to do what we could never do through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. Folks, God knows you. But not only that, he sees you. I said, he sees you. Tell somebody next to you, he sees you. He sees you. John 1:48. "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip even found you." I see you. He knows what or who you're currently involved with. He knows the places where you've been. He knows where you live and what it's like, yet he still loves you and wants you to follow him. He wants to do life with you. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed of you. Not ashamed to call you his brethren. Not ashamed of your struggles. As a matter of fact, the Lord sees you and he is watching over you. And if he's made a promise to you, he's watching over you to perform his word concerning you. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." Hallelujah. Nathanael went from skepticism to discipleship. Folks, the Lord is speaking to someone here this evening. Will you trust him with your life? Will you trust him with whatever is going on? Nathanael did, and he went on to be numbered among the 12 apostles. Bible scholars believe he was also known as Bartholomew, Nathaniel, Bartholomew. When you believe and walk with Jesus, when we believe and walk with Jesus, we get to see him move more and more, folks. John 1, verse 50 and 51, which we read earlier, Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will see all see heaven open and the angels of God. You'll see the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." Folks, faith opens the door for us to see God move in all kinds of ways. When I think of that legacy video tonight of David Wilkerson, a man who simply obeyed God and followed his leading and decided to turn off the television to spend more time with Jesus and to seek the face of God. Suddenly, God begins to lead him from one place to another, from one thing to another, to pioneer one work after another. Amazing. A life of obedience, a life lived in faith, a life simply following Jesus, trusting the Lord. And suddenly, you get to see God move in all kinds of ways like you never imagine. You know, this word here, when he talks about seeing God move, it's amazing when he sees greater things. He's saying you're going to see, it actually means you're going to see eye-popping stuff, where your eyes are going to be so wide open, like in awe and amazement. When you and I begin to follow him and trust him, there is no limit to what God will do. When we in faith begin to walk with God and invite the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will become keenly aware of God's activity in our lives and in the world around us. Especially when we find others and introduce them to Jesus like Andrew and Philip did. You know, Andrew, for example, became a facilitator of introducing people to Jesus. Here he introduces his brother to Jesus. Later on, he'll introduce that little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus, who wanted to feed the multitudes. Andrew's the one who introduces him to Jesus. And then later on, he's gonna introduce some Greeks who came to inquire about Jesus as well and said, "Would you introduce us to Jesus?" And so he goes to Philip and they introduce him to Jesus. And so they become facilitators, those that lead people to Christ. And many of you here are facilitators. That's you, that's your ministry. You introduce people to Christ, whether it's in a Bible study, a small group, a connect group, or maybe in a one-on-one conversation. And just like these fellows here, you have the opportunity to see God move in ways like no other, because you're doing the work that he assigned to you to do. Hallelujah. Folks, we will see and experience the Lord's supernatural handiwork when we join him in his work to reach this dying and lost world. In this passage is a direct reference to the Jewish patriarch Jacob, who in a dream had seen a ladder stretched from earth up to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on it, which account is found in Genesis 28:12. Folks, Jesus is the ladder, the stairway that bridges the gap that sin created from between heaven and earth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The Bible says there is salvation in no one else, for God has given us no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. All other religions focus on what man must do to try to reach God or to get to God. But Christianity is the only religion that teaches that God came to us to save us, to rescue us, to find us, hallelujah, to redeem us. Come on, somebody. To deliver us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? From skepticism to discipleship, from skepticism and unbelief to faith in God and a walk, a closer walk with Him. Tonight, if the Lord has been speaking to you throughout this evening, through the testimonies, through what has been said and done, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to the front of this church, which we call an altar. You know, Nathanael got up from where he was and he came to Jesus. He came to have an exchange with the Lord. And it didn't matter what was going on in his life at the time. He was seeking, he was hungry. And his hunger was satisfied. Maybe you're here tonight, and if you haven't been walking closely with the Lord or intimately with the Lord, or maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord at all, this invitation is also for you. You might have been invited here or maybe wandered in, or maybe you searched online, as so many others have, for a church because you felt in your heart you needed to go to church, you needed to find God. I want to invite you as well. If you would like to be born again and start your journey with God, or maybe renew your relationship with God, I want to invite you to come to this altar as well. This whole night has been about you and what God wants to speak to you. And it might just be one person, it might be a handful, or it might be a number of you. But tonight, God, the Holy Spirit, has been speaking to someone here in this place. And He's calling you to Himself, and He wants to have an exchange with you. He doesn't want this evening to come and pass. He wants an exchange with you. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand quietly and reverently with me. Would you do that right now? Would you stand with me quietly and reverently here on the main floor and even up in the balcony? And if that's you tonight, it might be just one person, or it might be a handful, or it might be a number of you, but that's you tonight. You say, Pastor, God's been speaking to me through the testimonies, through the songs tonight. And I want to have this exchange with God. I don't want to walk out of here the same. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to pray with you this evening. We're not going to do anything strange or weird. We're going to pray and we're going to believe God for a supernatural breakthrough tonight. That's what this night has been all about, folks. Breakthroughs. Breakthroughs. And so as they lead us in song, you step out of your seat right now and you come to the front. They'll make way for you. You step into the aisle. You come to the front and join me here. And we're going to believe God for you tonight. You'll never be the same after this night. I guarantee it, on the authority of God's word, you will never be the same tonight. You will never be the same tonight. This is your night for a miracle.
Yes, Lord.
This is your night for a miracle tonight. Come to the front.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here, let us pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
He knows my name.
Can God make anything of this? Can God do anything here in this situation? He's going to turn your situation around. It's your night for a breakthrough tonight. Your night for freedom. In the congregation, I want you to stretch forth your hands towards your brothers and sisters right now, and we want to begin to pray for them. Folks here in the front, begin to talk to the Lord. Just begin to tell him why you've come. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but you begin to talk to him. You begin to talk to him and tell him why you've come. Whatever is going on, begin to pour out your heart before him. The Bible says God is a refuge for us, Selah. Begin to talk to him. Tell him why you've come. Come on, congregation, begin to pray for your brothers and sisters. Lift your voice to God. Pray for breakthrough tonight. Pray for freedom. Pray for healing. Pray for deliverance tonight. Restoration, hallelujah. For them to see a new way forward. Father, tonight we lift our voices to you on behalf of our brothers and sisters, on behalf of those who are responding tonight, maybe some even for the very first time. We thank you that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same God, the God of wonders, whose wonders never cease, whose miracles cannot be numbered. We thank you, O God, that you are still the God of the breakthrough. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters tonight. We pray for breakthroughs in their minds, breakthroughs in their hearts, breakthroughs in their spirits, oh God, breakthroughs in their souls, oh God, breakthroughs, Lord, in their relationships, breakthroughs, oh God, wherever they need a breakthrough. We're believing for breakthroughs tonight, for you are the God of the breakthroughs. You are the God of the miraculous. Thank you, oh God, for being in our midst. Thank you for speaking so tenderly, so clearly tonight. God, we're believing that when we walk out of this place, we will never be the same, oh God. That you are going to turn things around, oh God. Lord, we're believing that faith will begin to arise in every heart and life as we delve more and more into the truth that sets us free, into the living word of God. Hallelujah, that your word will light up our souls, that we become a fire, Lord, within us, oh God, showing us the way wherein we should walk, how we should proceed, oh God. God, thank you tonight for healing. Lord, I pray for healing from trauma, deep trauma tonight. I pray for freedom from years of addiction tonight. That the bonds of sin and wickedness will be broken this night. I pray that all oppression would cease. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You cannot have these brands that have been plucked out of the fire tonight. We thank you, Lord, for freedom. Lord, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, we thank you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now, for those who are responding, maybe even for the first time, you've made a decision tonight to begin your journey with God. The Bible says it's a supernatural transformation that begins to take place in you. The Bible calls it being born again. The scripture says in the same chapter that we read from John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, it says he came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gives the right, the power, the ability to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so would you lift your hands as a sign of surrender to God tonight? And we're going to pray together. Would you pray with me? And for the sake of those coming to Christ, let's all pray together, nice and loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my guilt, and my shame and died for it. I believe that you defeated sin and death and that I have the victory because of you. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Now I declare with confidence that God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, the Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Give them a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if this is your first time responding to the front of a church like this, or maybe if you're coming back to the Lord, please text the word decided. Please text the word decided to 51,000. We would love to help you as you begin your journey with the Lord this evening. And for those online that are typing, you can do that in the chat. You can text decided in the chat, and you'll receive a link there and further instructions. Folks, what an awesome night it's been tonight. Praise God. What an awesome night it's been. Thank the Lord for what he's done tonight. May the Lord bless you, protect you. May he continue to smile on you and be gracious to you. May he show you his favor and give you his peace. Let's go rejoicing in Jesus' name.